Several years ago, I was assigned to preach from these same lessons we have today, Proper 14, Year A, in the season of Pentecost. I had just started preaching at St. Martin's in Des Plaines, Illinois. For several days, I studied these lessons and I struggled with what I was going to preach. Then a realization came to me that at least two of the lessons were all about prayer and being in communion with the Holy Spirit. Our New Testament lessons present to us examples of prayer and discernment with the Spirit of God from several different points of view. The most obvious example of prayer is from our gospel lesson in Matthew. A typical day in Jesus' ministry on earth, after a long day of preaching and teaching, Jesus sends the people and his disciples away and secludes himself to pray. What could be a more typical passage in any of the Gospels? But notice how long Jesus is praying in this passage. He prays through most of the night and into the early morning. My impression is that Jesus often prayed into the early hours of the morning. It was probably the only time of day when he could be alone, when it was quiet. In that time of profound silence and stillness, when nature herself seems to be holding her breath, that Jesus could pause to reflect and to allow his Father the time and space to speak to him. Jesus himself shows us how important it is to have this time for prayer by his example. It is in this profound silence when we are calm, when we have emptied our minds of all our concerns and our worries, when our thoughts are quiet, that we may be able to hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. When I pray, I am reminded of the next passage in our gospel lesson. We read that after Jesus had finished his prayer, he walks across the water through a violent storm to where the disciples were struggling to keep their ship afloat. The disciples see Jesus out in the storm, walking on the water. They hear him over the sound of the storm, and the disciples are terrified. They believe they are seeing and hearing some sort of ghost across the water. Peter asks Jesus to command him to walk across the water, and Jesus calls to Peter to join him. This passage about Peter crossing the water feels like many of my experiences with prayer. How often have I started to pray to attempt to reach across that gulf that separates us from God, only to start to stink, to be distracted by the violent storm that sometimes is the world around me, the violent storm that sometimes is my own thoughts and fears. And finally, as I'm going under, I call out to be saved. Oh God, make speed to save me. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. For at least 15 centuries, Christians have prayed these three simple prayers to our Lord to be saved, to be helped, and for Jesus Christ to show us his mercy. From all that I have read and all that I have experienced, I believe that people have always had these problems in prayer. That is why we all must continually practice prayer and through trial and error find out what works best for each one of us at every stage in our lives to help us in listening to the Holy Spirit. In the discussion of prayer up to this point, we have concentrated on the journey of faith that we travel alone in our personal relationship with the living God. Paul, in our reading from Romans, takes this discussion to the next level. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? John Gill, the first Baptist theologian, in his commentary on Romans 10, verse 15, really helped me to understand the meaning of this passage. Ordinary mission is of people to be pastors and teachers for whom Christ sends forth into such service, he bestows gifts unto them, fitting them for it, and it also includes a call unto it, which is, by the Spirit of God, and the inclination of the heart, to this good work which he forms and which arises not from a vanity of mind and a desire for popular applause, but from a real concern for the good of souls, being willing to deny themselves and forsake all for Christ. Paul's four questions in our reading from Romans are about how we are to call and select our ministers, our leaders and teachers in the community of Christ. Paul is laying the organizational groundwork for growing Christianity from a small group of believers to an organization, a church. Paul is also describing the process of discernment, asking how we should listen and to discern, to hear, and to interpret that whisper of the Holy Spirit when we are being called to ministry into that larger church organization. Nine years ago, when I first preached to these lessons, I was 2 years into a discernment into ministry with the Episcopal Church in the Diocese of Chicago. I had met with my discernment committee at St. Martin's in Des Plaines over a period of 6 months. We had prayed together and talked and listened together. My committee and I had discerned a call for me to continue to work towards ordination as a deacon in the Episcopal Church. As in our lesson from Genesis, with Joseph being sold into slavery by his own brothers, life seldom turns out the way we think it will. Joseph had been heir of his father's fortune, the golden child. And not only that, even also having prophetic dreams in which his older brothers bowed down to him. In my discernment for ministry in our church, life intervened in my plans in a much more gentle way than Joseph being sold to some passing Midianites. When I interviewed with the Diocese of Chicago Committee on Ministry about entering the deacon training program, the committee did not hear my call to ministry. I was asked to come interview with them again, perhaps the following year. I had invested a great deal of my time and effort into entering the deacon program in Chicago, and I was deeply disappointed. As I considered what I should do next, I answered another call for service. My father was losing his short-term memory, and my mother needed help to care for him. Darlene and I moved down here from Chicago to be near my parents as they made that transition from living in their own home to an independent living community in Marietta, Ohio. I still have a great deal to learn about discernment. What I have learned is that being in discernment is not an easy way to live, but it can be a very rewarding way to live. Discernment guides us in choosing between the many paths we may follow, the many things that we may do. Usually all the paths we are considering are good, productive things that we can do with our time and our talents. But finding that one thing that will really make a difference can be difficult. Discernment does not end after you are called into a ministry. Discernment continues. My discernment continued even though I did not become a deacon in the Diocese of Chicago. As I have come to understand what discernment is about, I was surprised by how familiar it turned out to be. It seems I have been in discernment all along. I was just not aware of what I was doing as I used it in my daily life and work. All this time in my work, when I have been stuck on some technical problem, I clear my mind and simply listen. Given some time, from out of nowhere, I will receive an idea about how to approach that particular problem. or how to put together a solution. The artist waiting for inspiration, or the engineer awaiting that technical insight, are in discernment. We are all opening ourselves, allowing our own divine nature to commune with the divine nature which is present in everything in the universe around us. When we are inspired, we manage for just that brief instant to hear God's voice, the Spirit of God speaking to us. I have found that in discerning what God what God wants me to do, I am discovering what I am capable of becoming. I am continually learning who I am. God, as our Father and Creator, knows us far better than we know ourselves. It is a startling, humbling, and liberating experience to be middle-aged and to be continually learning who I am and what I am capable of becoming. I'd like to leave you with this thought. Discernment is for everyone. Not just those people who are the clergy. Not just those people who are on the vestry. Not just those people who are being called to ministry. Everyone. We should all be practicing how to be present and aware of the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our reflections, our thoughts, our feelings, and our prayers. We should all be finding time each day to listen in profound silence, allowing the Spirit of God the time and space in our lives so that we may hear the quiet voice of God. Thank you.